it's Friday the 5th of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I'd hand out my mate's phone numbers to anyone who asked. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we ask the papers out on a speed date and then judge them when they don't ask the right questions. Who, what, where, when, why and how are all fine, but sometimes you also need to ask, what were you thinking? Anyway, we're happy to be here as always, and we're really happy that so many of you have joined our Papercut Supporters Club. We're very grateful to you for your kindness, and yes, we've noticed that you're all hugely good looking too. But if you've already joined or money's tight, then here's another way you could help us out, and it's free. Just send a text or a WhatsApp to three of your mates with a link to papercutshow.co.uk and let's see what happens. They might subscribe, or they might not, and well, that's one less friend for you. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. If you want to be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Tory MP admits giving his mate's phone numbers to a potential Grindr blackmailer. Dead pop star still making money? The Times wants to tell us about Amy Winehouse and her men. And no likey, no lighty. Blind Date might be coming back, but we're rooting for the return of Take Me Out. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we put away our winter coat and now we feel silly. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is political correspondent of Politics Joe and scourge of boring fellas, it's Ava Santina. Hi, Ava.
Good morning.
And also with us is stand-up comedian and, yes, scourge of boring fellas, it's Athena Cubleno. Hi, Athena.
Hello, good morning.
So what have we got on the front pages today? What do you have, Ava?
On the front page of The Guardian, I've got that Biden is demanding a Gaza ceasefire. So he was on the phone to Netanyahu yesterday basically saying, stop it.
Great.
On the front of The Eye, it says Sunak has been urged to publish legal advice on the arms sales to Israel. So that's a similar story. The Conservatives are in turmoil at the moment because they will not publish legal advice that's been given to them. And it's suspected that that legal advice says that Israel are breaching humanitarian law.
In which case we shouldn't be selling arms to them.
Yes, we should halt our export licenses of arms to Israel. And then on the front of The Telegraph, same story as The Guardian, Biden has told Israel, stop killing civilians. So it's just really interesting as well that the American president can get on the phone to Netanyahu, but our prime minister doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was on the phone to him the other day and he basically said he was shocked and saddened to see what had gone on in the Gaza Strip. So anyway, that was very helpful. Thanks for that, Rishi. And then on the front of The Times, a senior Tory MP gave MPs numbers in this honey trap scandal that we're going to talk about in a minute, but it's engulfing Westminster.
I bet it is. Okay, what do you have, Athena? You've got the fun papers, right?
I've got the fun papers, yes. Front page of The Sun. Good news. It's a good day for Charles. King raring to go on tour of Oz as cancer treatment goes well. Great news. I believe the picture is not AI. Repeat, it's not AI. I think it's a real picture on the front page from 2018.
I have to say, it looks quite good. White suit.
It was a while ago. Not relevant, but we're white people. It really ages you down. It makes you look funky. Miami Vice, you know,
yeah,
brilliant.
Exactly.
The Mirror, front page of the Daily Mirror. Justice in the name of Sharon. Gang ringleader Pirandita Khan is found guilty of murdering PC Beshanivsky in 2005. So finally, some justice for that. Front page of the Daily Mail. I mean, we mentioned it already, but let's say it again because it's very, very exciting news. Top Tory, I gave MP's numbers to sexting plotter.
Plotter.
I mean, it's just like, brilliant. We'll talk about that later, though. Very hilarious. And front page of the Daily Star, asking the question that we've all wanted to know the answer to, but we're going to finally get the answer. What time is it on the moon?
This is like a toddler's question, isn't it? Why is the sky blue? What time is it on the moon?
NASA has been ordered to answer the question we never knew needed answering. And once we know the time, we can then, you know, start maybe arranging train services on the moon that can then run late. And we can start messing up the moon as well. So very exciting news for humanity, actually. Yeah,
thrilled. I agree. And aliens.
And aliens, yes.
Now, on the front pages of many of the papers is a strange tale involving the MP for Hazel Grove, William Ragg, and the recent so-called honey trap sex scandal. Ava, what has been going on?
I think the honey trap.
It's so old school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Honey trap.
Yeah, and it makes it sound a lot sexier than it is. So basically, on Wednesday, Politico reported that there were a number of MPs, senior MPs from a crossbench as well, cross-party effort, and political journalists who'd been embroiled in this scandal where someone had been sending, unsolicited text messages and pictures of their bits. And instead of being normal people and saying, I don't know who this sender is, they replied to it. So they exchanged, also racy messages, and some of them even sent pictures of themselves.
Two people sent pictures.
I mean, what's that about? It's like dealing with a bunch of six-year-olds. It's like, okay, if someone you don't know texts you and says, can I see your penis? You should say, I don't know who you are. Let me just check. Yeah. Let me just check before I send my intimate bits. Yeah. Now, the news today is that William Ragg, who is chair of the Commons Select Committee, I think it's Public Administration and Constitutional Affairs. Mm. Is that right?
It's vice chair of the 1922 Committee. I never know what the 1922 Committee is. But
that's not really real. That's just a group of MPs like wanging on about how they don't like the Prime Minister.
Oh, okay,
the
fine.
Select Committee is actually the important one where he does actually quite serious work. He has to hold the Prime Minister to account in this select committee. And it's come out that apparently he was talking to someone on a dating app and then that moved on to text. When they were on text, this person then basically forced him, apparently, into giving numbers of political journalists and MPs. And that's where this scandal
began. Can I just roll my eyes right back? I mean, they've gone right back into my head. They forced him.
But the best thing about this story is that a couple of days ago, it was sort of being billed as if it was like a phishing scandal and as if it was sort of like Chinese state intervention.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's just a horny MP who's been on an app and then given away everyone's numbers.
I know the idea that it was like hostile states
yeah.
were acting as honey traps. I mean, it's all kind of like the language that was used like 2 days ago sounded really James Bond. And now it's literally Grindr. Isn't it? I mean, it's Grindr and a couple of people going, maybe we can get some dodgy pictures and compromise people. That's it.
I'm just curious, because if you are someone who is a member of parliament, presumably you're getting quite sensitive information given to you quite regularly. Your phone is probably sort of like a beacon of information that should not be given out. If you fall at the first hurdle, like this MP has demonstrated, should you be privy to all of that, sort of sensitive information? Anyway, the Conservative Party has said that he's going to keep the whip, so he'll carry on as a Conservative MP.
So everything's fine. I know.
All of these people make me question whether private education is value for money. I genuinely sort of think that a lot of money has been invested in these people from the age of maybe 5 to 18. Mm. And they've all gone to quite prestigious universities. And I would just like to really think about whether or not you can get a refund on, did you keep the receipts? Can you get, it might have been 40 years ago, but get a percentage back. Because I just sort of, that's a lot of money to spend for someone to come out the other end who then just sends, you can send pictures to people on WhatsApp, and put a little setting so those pictures disappear. Everything exists in 2024 to allow you to indulge yourself in sending pictures of your anus to people and no one else needs to know. Yeah. Everything. You can make it so they can't screenshot it. I don't know why I know this, by the way. I have no idea why I know this as it happens. But you can do everything. You can probably do it so you can send a picture to someone and their phone explodes. Literally. All of that exists.
It's so, the thing that I find so basic about it is that, I have children and you explain to your kids that the best thing to do is don't send pictures, right? And if you're going to send pictures, don't send a picture with your head on. That's it.
I've got a 5-year-old daughter, and when she went to school, she started singing about Pantosaurus. I'm like, what is Pantosaurus? Pantosaurus is a character invented by the NSPCC to teach kids about personal privacy and what people can and can't see. So do we need to send Pantosaurus?
I think definitely to the
House of Commons to be like, and it's a dinosaur that wears pants. So basically, and he points at his pants and is like, no one can see this. That's how it works. That's basically it. So we don't need, we need need an NSPCC for MPs.
Definitely.
Just so they can protect themselves, because they're obviously vulnerable people.
I love the idea as well that because he got into a panic, he gave those numbers out.
Yeah.
So like he just gave the numbers out and then didn't bother texting them saying, look, I'm really sorry. Somebody's going to text you. Do not reply because they're trying to blackmail me. I'm in a bit of a pickle. I'm going to go to somebody and try and sort this out. He just said, yeah, take
so
those
we're
numbers.
Buying that story. Like we're buying it, or it's not like I think I'm just gonna shaft my mates.
Who was it?
I'm just gonna send them out on the canal. I'm gonna sell them down the river or something. Yeah. I don't think he didn't do it in a panic. I think he was trying to make money. A lot of these guys want to lose their seats anyway, right?
Maybe he's standing down at the next election.
Yeah,
he's
not
running.
Okay.
Yeah, he announced that in 2022. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So he's kind of got less to lose, I suppose.
Yeah. Do you know what's so audacious about this though, as well, is that the people who receive the text messages like immediately started engaging in it, because I guess there's sort of an expectation that a random man or woman would be messaging them for sex. like, why do you think that like immediately when someone texts you, like, ah, of course, this person wants to have sex with me, like.
Yeah, they saw me across the room at a party. We were introduced once, and so now they're texting me, and by the third text, they want to have sex with me.
And all of this as well was like, so the evidence that this scandal, this person was using to lure them in was like parliamentary, like, bits. So like they were saying, like, oh, I met you in the Woolsack, which is the sports bar, or I met you in the Strangers Bar, which is the bar on the terrace, and like all of these. And it's like, what? How much sex is happening in Parliament? You would assume that someone met you at the parliamentary bar and thought, I would like to have sex with this person.
They are mad, aren't they?
Is no one doing any policy? Like,
no, exactly. I did think that as well. I just thought they'd like, this is the stuff that's hit the front page. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not doing any governing. They're just messing around on their phones and hoping that somebody might see them.
If someone's on Grindr listening and they've got an MP's number, can you just, instead of, can I see your dick? It's like, can I see the leasehold reform act, please? Yes. can we sort that out? Because my freeholders are taking a piss and I'd rather see that than someone's penis or ball sack. Yeah. And they might respond to that. So that might be a good way to push things through, actually.
Yeah. It's sexier. Now, across the top of the Times is a big question for us all. What happened to Amy's men? The Amy is Amy Winehouse and, well, Athena. What happened to Amy's men and who are those men?
I for one, can't believe we're going to find out the time on the moon and also what happened to Amy Winehouse's men. Yeah, the Times have led with this on their entertainment pages. After Amy, the blame game that engulfed the men who loved her. So I think, oh my God, I'm going to read about all the men who loved her. Everyone in her life, music producers, all of her friends, all of her family, all of her confidants. No, it's just Dad and Blake. It's like those two.
Again.
Those two again. And in a nutshell, Dad is still telling her story in exchange for money, and Blake is living in Leeds. The Times must have done a credit check on him, because the Times have got quite a lot of details about his movements. He's had 5 previous addresses in Leeds of late, and he's currently about to get married to somebody else. So nothing can be hidden from Experian. That's my lesson from that. But yeah, it's about Blake. It's about her dad. And we're not learning anything new. Blake is still addicted to drugs. Her dad is still selling her story, and people are making money from it. They are quick to say that her charity for addicts and helping people who want to get off drugs is benefiting from it too. But I am willing to stake a very hefty bet, in fact, a significant bet, that there was nothing in this film about Amy Winehouse that we don't already know. I think every minute of this woman's life is out there now. And I'm not sure how necessary this is, unless, of course, it is funding a good charity.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the facts in there, actually, that they reveal, there's a lot of kind of work in this piece, I have to say. There's a lot of kind of, you know, they've investigated in, you know, there's a lot of journalistic work. But one of the things that they say is that when money goes to the family, like a third of it goes to the foundation. So like two thirds of it doesn't. So, I mean, obviously, I'm not certainly not saying that they're living off Amy, but it does seem a little bit like they're living off Amy. And then the rest of it goes to the foundation. But yeah, you know, what this film that's coming out, Back to Black, which is where we have people playing Amy. I just really feel for the actress,
why?
Marisa Abella, because she's an actor. She wants to work. She gets offered a job, but it's such a poison chalice. You can't, you know, if you've heard her sing, which, you know, she's trying to sing like Amy Winehouse. It's terrible.
Yeah, they've redone her vocals. They've got her singing with Amy Winehouse's band. And I just sort of think she's 27. We say like too soon quite a lot, like, but it's a bit too soon. Like, how long did they wait before they did James Brown? Quite a long time. I think so much water has to pass under the bridge before you take somebody's life and you lay them bare. And I think because there's always been this, there was a documentary by the BBC a few years ago, and then there was another film that was made.
It was Amy, wasn't there?
Yeah. That
was
which was amazing.
Yeah, really
it was
good.
Out of Capadia, and it was so good. It really did her justice, and it told it from her perspective. This just feels even this piece actually in the Times to me feels exploitative, and it feels like we're infantilizing her. Like, it feels like everything in her life happened to her rather than she had any agency or conviction in the choices that she made. And it makes me sick.
Yeah, I mean, they're selling the film is what I think. If you feel, you know, over the last few weeks, I've read a lot of different interviews with a lot of different angles. So Alison Owen, who is the producer of the film, who is a great producer, she has been interviewed because she's also Lily Allen's mum. So she's definitely trying to promote this film. And if this is what this feels like, it feels like the journalist has seen the film and then is allowed to write about it. And this is the angle they've gone for because they couldn't really think of any other angles. So there's a lot of promo around this film because they know they've got to get over a big kind of almost like a resentment from Amy's fans in order to get people into the cinema to watch it.
Yeah, but I think the angle is gonna put people off, right? And I would hate it if the film was just about her husband, Blake Fielder-Civil, and her dad. In fact, the article says that the film's very kind to Blake Fielder-Civil, which is interesting because, I mean, he doesn't seem to be the most positive influence. Like, if my daughter married Blake Fielder-Civil, I'm not sure I want a film to be made of her life being kind to this guy. I mean, there's a lovely line in this article, which is about how he introduced her to hard drugs, but he's not to blame. It's like, well, that's kind of, you know, he is to blame, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
If that's the case. So it's just a really sad story about someone who didn't really want to be famous, who was addicted to quite devastating substances.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the story. And and if anyone that tries to put any spin on it, any romantic spin about the men in her life or her being influenced by people or whatever, this is about fame, this is about drugs, and this is about what it can do if you're talented.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah, that she wasn't exactly. She didn't quite get the help that she needed. Now it's time to find the fun and print that pun. Yes, it's Papercut's very own big type ninja warrior. It's Fix the Headline. Fix the Headline is where we find a great story with an ungreat header and we get you, the Papercut's massive, can you hear the quotation marks there, to think up a better one. And this week we found a story from the Daily Star. Billionaires under the age of 30 all inherited their wealth from their parents. Gasp. Anyway, the headline is Thanks a Billion to Mum and Dad, which is okay, but we know you can do better. If you can think up a better headline, then go to @PaperCutsShow on X or Threads and tell us what it is with the hashtag FixTheHeadline. The winner gets a Papercuts t-shirt. So, Ava, we know this is your favourite part of the show. Have you got any good headlines today?
I've just seen what you've put down. You're taking the piss.
So, what paper have you got?
Okay, so I'm reading from The Sun today. The first story is about Pudsey the Bear as the Children in Need mascot. And apparently, he's been hiding a dirty secret for almost 40 years, and he's a smoker. So presumably the person... Yeah.
I'm relieved.
So presumably the person inside Pudsey
Pussy's real.
I would have thought he took the head off and then had the cigarette. Anyway, Richard Osman spotted him doing this. And the headline is, put that out.
Put it,
that
sucks. Put it out.
Put it out. Put it out. Yeah. Put it out.
Okay, your next one. You're going to love this one.
So the Kamani family behind Boohoo, which is an online fashion outlet, have seen a chunk of their cash go down the toilet after losing money on the takeover of loo roll giant Acryl. The headline for this is Boohoo, Loo, Coo, Hoodoo, Who Knew?
What?
I hate this segment so much.
That was beautifully delivered. Okay, Athena, you've got the star, right?
Yeah, I've got the star. It doesn't get better. The star, we've got a story about Storm Olivia. It's coming in today and it's going to bring us misery. Even more misery.
Okay.
And the headline is Olivia Newton Weatherbomb. I just got it, actually. Because all morning I've been like, I don't get it. Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get it. I was literally, I don't know why you've chosen this. And I felt really silly, but I get it now. Good. So
can
I'm
you
relieved.
Say it again? What was it?
Olivia, I'll say it again. Olivia Newton Weatherbomb.
It's the Newton that's but wrong.
It's Olivia Newton Weatherbomb. So I am right. It's a play on Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
I'm right. But weather bomb, weather has three syllables.
Yeah.
And John has one syllable.
And also, she's not there.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's so bad.
I couldn't get it. And I was sweating too. I was like, I don't understand it. I felt like I was in my English exam and I hadn't read my York notes. And I didn't know, I haven't read the book. I can't answer these questions. But I know, I'm old enough to know who Olivia Newton-John is. And I have a good enough understanding of English to get this headline.
Yeah.
Relief.
Okay, move around. On. You've got another.
Move on.
Come on, they can claw it back with the last one. Let's
yeah,
see.
Come on, let's see.
So lakes at a famed water lily garden, likened to French Impressionist Monet's iconic garden, have turned yellow. Okay.
Oh.
The headline is Dirty Monet.
Okay, that makes sense.
Dirty Monet. I ruined it because I said the word Monet and then I said... Every comedian knows you don't put the funny word in the setup.
Yeah.
So I apologise to the person who wrote that. I ruined it. But it is funny.
So there is a story on the front page of The Sun and it's about Blind Date. It might be coming back. This time, hosted by, surprise, everyone's favourite telepresenter, Claudia Winkleman. So for younger listeners, this was a hugely popular Saturday night show, which was on telly from 1985 to 2003 and was hosted by then National Treasure, Cilla Black. Athena. Okay, would you be happy for Blind Date to come back?
I would be. And I want to stress for everybody under the age of, imagine, 35.
Mm.
I was like, how big Blind Date was.
It
I
was
think
massive.
At its peak, it had about 18 million viewers. That's almost a third of the country.
That's crazy.
And discounting like babies, you don't get to choose what they watch. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so people who people who had the capacity to turn on the telly and press the remote control, because we had the remote controls in the 90s and 80s. It wasn't that long ago. We didn't have to walk up and do the dial. Like we could use
I can remember doing
technology.
The dial, but that was pre-Cilla.
Most of us watched Blind Date.
Yeah.
And just to describe what it was, an individual would be stood behind a screen where three other individuals were sat down. And I don't know why one was stood and three were sat down. But then it was then you got the drama of the three having to stand up to act things out. But anyway, the person behind the screen would ask the three individuals three questions. Like, if you were on a boat and your mum and your dad were, and the dog were on the boat and the boat was sinking, who would you save? There were better questions than that. I just thought of that one up.
That's a good one.
It's
yeah.
a good question.
Yeah.
And then all three would answer the question. And after all three had answered three questions designed to test these people's humanity, I imagine, you would pick the person who was most wonderful and you'd go out on a date with them. And the date was always like a little holiday. And then they would film you on holiday doing all these crazy activities like riding a banana boat, painting a mug.
Yeah, they were always really active, weren't they?
Yeah, active. It was either amazing or shit.
Yeah.
So it was either you're going to climb a mountain or you're going to go basket weaving, you know. And the producers would obviously decide which couples they liked and they would send the ones they liked to Barbados and they would send the ones they hated to Kent.
It was
brilliant. Kent is lovely, by the way, but still.
But it's not Barbados.
It's not Barbados, no. And that's the show. And now we're going to do it again. And I think a 2024 version of Blind Date is going to be pretty wild, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot less innocent.
Oh, they won't be wearing clothes.
Yeah, it was great. And then, I mean, actually, when we were talking about this before we came on air. There was also Take Me Out. That was really fun. Take Me Out was really good. So Take Me Out was presented by Paddy McGuinness, and there was a lot of people. So there would
The light one.
So they would all be standing behind a kind of column, and they had a light, and the person would be talking about who they were. And there was lots of kind of mucking about, wasn't there? So they would say, you know, I make loads of money, and then or the women or who were, you know, who might be going on a date with them would switch a light off if they didn't like them, or, you know, keep it on. And eventually you'd end up with two and he would choose one.
It was gladiators for millennials. You know, it was the, instead of a thumbs up or thumbs down and kill or keep alive, it was keep your light on and I'll go to Fernando's with you. And Made Up Island, which everyone knows is Fernando's.
Oh my God, was that not a real island?
It wasn't a real island, it was a made up place. And you'd go, I love Take Me Out because I loved it. It's irreverence. I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. And I think everyone who went on it knew it was ridiculous.
And they came down in a lift.
They came down and they had a dance. They would make the men do a silly, come out of the lift and do like a silly dance. It was, and some of the men embraced it and some of them were like, I just want the holiday. Like, I'm really stressed out. I need to go to Made Up Island. It was great. So if they can mash up Take Me Out with Blind Date with Naked Attraction, I think we've got a hit.
Naked
and Gladiators, because that's quite good now. Yeah. And Ninja Warrior. Yeah. Put all of that in one show and you've got me back 6 p.m. Saturday night. I will never leave the house.
Yeah. Like they've got a fight for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two dates, pugil sticks. Yeah.
let's pull it right back. Let's get really like kind of archaic with like our machismo, yeah? And so like the men have to fight over the women.
Yeah.
Or like the women have to rip each other's hair out
to
get the man.
And you could
let's be really toxic.
Yeah.
We're
naked.
Not toxic enough anymore.
We're not toxic. You know? We don't want it enough, you know. Do you want to be lonely and eat cake, because that's another story we haven't covered.
And then it's just like a Tory MP in the corner shouting, get your penis out.
Let me take a photo. The only thing I think about this, because I think, to be honest, we've just designed a perfect game show here, is first dates. So first dates kind of knocks everything else out. Mm. That's the problem, because you see the date in quite a lot of detail rather than the kind of competition to get the date.
But that's so earnest, first dates, isn't it? It's always quite sweet and lovely. And there's always like, I don't know, a woman who's like overcome like, you know, unimaginable trauma. And then like a man who hasn't been on a date in 40 years. And you just like totally fall in love with them, right?
Yeah.
It's not really like you're not watching it to ridicule.
Yeah, it's not fun, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's complete. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's too enjoyable and sweet and you like people on it. And I want to hate tweet whilst I watch TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and go, oh my God, can you believe it? What an asshole. You know, when you watch First Dates, there's no need to do anything whilst you watch First Dates, but will them to have a happy life together.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. Okay, yes, more toxic.
You know that one First Dates, it makes me cry every time it comes up on TikTok again, of like that woman who had alopecia, and they're like getting, like they just sat down and they're like chatting away, and then she just takes her wig off and she's like, I've got alopecia, and he literally looks at her like his eyes widen. He's like, you are so beautiful.
Oh.
Every time I'm gonna cry now.
If someone did that on Take Me Out, they go, light off. Well, Paddy, I just didn't like the wig bit, really. It just looked a bit animal. Could you imagine all the lights go red.
And they have to bring out the mystery one instead.
We want that. That's what we want. Insensitivity, bring it back.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Ava.
Thank you.
Thanks to Athena.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? The link is in the show notes. And all our supporters get a special shout out. Ava, who do you have?
Thank you, Paul Holmes. You're fab.
David Groves, I'm going to give you my best radio voice. Thank you, David. You are super. Have a good day, David Groves.
Thank you, Victoria Hopkins. You are glorious. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Italian island of Alisudi has been overrun by goats. The goat population is 6 times more than the human population. This has led to an Adopt a Goat programme for non-islanders to try and stem the tide. There should be a reality TV show for people who want to adopt a goat. We could call it The Bachelor. See you on Monday.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Athena Kablenu and Ava Santina. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott, with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.